Hello.
Hi. And welcome to the BitBoys podcast episode...
5.
Yeah, hey.
That's crazy.
It's more than a month now. There's 4 weeks in a month.
Well, 4.5-ish.
Yeah, our pro subscription's about to run out, so it's been more than a month.
Or 4 if it's February, like this month.
True. Anyways, I'm Kaleos.
And I'm Faison Chaos. So I guess we'll start off as usual with what we've been playing this week. So what have you been playing, Kaleos?
Well, it's pretty much been Dante's Inferno. Since I got that on my birthday on the 11th, then I played it that night, talked about it a bit last week, but I hadn't played much. I'm now on, I switched to Zealot mode instead of Hellish, because Hellish was taking me way too long, so I figure I'll just go back and play it again anyways. I've made it all the way down to the Violence level of Hell, which is apparently broken up into 3 parts. So I'm in the Woods of Suicide at the moment, and there's this annoying bit where there's, a slope that you have to jump up, but for some reason the block falls down super fast and the animation for you letting go takes long enough that it's pretty much down at the bottom before I can do anything. So I got frustrated with that, restarted, another day and tried it again, except the block moved slower for the first push, then it started moving faster again.
Odd.
Yeah, it was really weird. I'd almost made it, too. So I'm going to try that again probably today and see how that goes. As far as the gameplay goes, apparently it's a lot like God of War, but I haven't played any of those. From what I've heard and seen briefly of the game, it does seem very similar, but at the same time, it's really fun. I've focused more on the unholy side, because you choose between unholy and holy with your scythe attack and your cross attacks. They're fairly balanced. I'm at, the 4th level of unholy and the 3rd level of holy. It's really a preference of gameplay style, I guess. I've focused on the combos and then getting, my redemption meter up, so I go, crazy powerful for a few seconds.
Nice. So what are, the crosses like?
The crosses are, your ranged attack, magic attack kind
of
thing.
Okay, so you sort of like Castlevania style, you just throw them and it comes back to you, or?
It's you push the cross out and then it sprays 3 glowing crosses that shoots out. And I bought the upgrade so I can do that. I can do a combo for 4 hits with that now.
Nice.
And some other stuff where it's you do this crazy thing where it draws them closer to you or it stuns them, all sorts of neat stuff like that. I've also got a bunch of magic from different bosses I've defeated and stuff like that. Of course there's content advisory warnings for certain levels, like the lust level, where nothing wears a top. And it's not a pretty not wearing a top, it's really, really annoying. There's it looks like you're looking at an open wound, is what it looks like.
That sounds rather unpleasant.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I decide to kill them.
That's probably a good idea.
And then there's unbaptized children that I have to fight because they have...
Like me.
Sure. Except you would have scythes for hands and run after me, and then they just sort of stand around you for a few moments, and then all of a sudden all of them decide, oh, I'm going to claw at him, and then I can't attack them because I'm being damaged. Yeah. There was this one really cool part where you get to control this, fire giant thing, though. That's later on in the game, though, so I won't go into much of it, because I don't want to give, spoilers. You do know, of course, because it happens at the very beginning, when Beatrice gets taken away from you, Lucifer shows up. That is who he is. They define it, but you're pretty sure it is at the beginning. He's got this cool thing where he's very plainly displayed as, a naked man that you don't see anything below there. It's all clouded and blurred away because he's got this constant smoke and wind effect on him as he looks like he's made of coal or something.
That's kind
of
cool.
Yeah. And he's got this really cool voice too. I should look up who did the voice for him. And yeah, you keep following Beatrice. Kind of feels like Mario where it's the princess is in the next castle. That's what I thought as soon as Beatrice got taken away again. I'm wait a sec. This seems familiar. I watched the Mega 64 video today about it, and I have to agree with them that if, assuming that it is as similar as they claim to be with God of War, it might be similar, but it's still a really fun game and definitely worth playing. The graphics are really good. The cutscenes, few and far between, are really, really nice. But the graphics in general are really good, except for the one thing I noticed is the scythe looks rather flat. Like, you'll see it up close in certain scenes where you talk, where you're talking as Dante, and it sort of looks very flat and gray, not, like, highlighted or shiny or anything as much as it could be.
Okay, so just sort of, like, the textures seem kind of...
Yeah, it seems a bit... Yeah. But, you know, he's normally centered in the screen, swinging the thing, like, 1,000 miles an hour, so you don't really notice.
Yeah. When you said flat at first, the first thing I thought that popped into my mind is that it looks sort of, like, almost 2D-ish. Like in Melee, you know how there's some of the trophies of, like, the 2D things, and you turn them, and then sort of...
A line?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the first thing that went through my head.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing I would have to say about it is... one neat thing is the poet who follows you around. Can't remember his name offhand. He's, the one who guides you through hell, basically. You can go and talk to him each time, and... Oh, right, Virgil, that's his name. Virgil the poet, he's this blue figure who greets you at each of the levels in each circle of hell, and he'll explain, like, what the level of hell is about, why people are sent here, what they've done to be there, and then you'll go and do neat stuff like... You can actually talk to him several times, which I didn't realize at first, and he'll give you more details on, like, famous people from history who've been in it, mostly like Romans and Greeks kind of thing, so super far back, but it's still really neat because he's like, oh, this person was here, like Cleopatra did this or Caesar did this.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, great game. Love the gameplay so far. It's really fun. There's also a bunch of downloadable content they've advertised in the game, like booklet that's coming out, so that should be interesting. Like, you can actually... obviously, the game play is based off of Dante's Inferno, the Divine Comedy, but not accurate to it necessarily, specifically. Like, super accurate, I guess. So you can, like, Dante's a crusader in this one. But if you pay, like, some Microsoft points, if you're on the Xbox, you can actually download the Dante Alighieri, or whatever his last name was. You can download his costume, so you look like the poet.
Yeah, one thing that... I think people were talking about... I saw some people talking about that, how you're not actually, like, how it was in the original poem thing.
Yeah.
And then another game that I had heard some other people complain about is I think they're coming out with, like, a Jack the Ripper game, except for he's portrayed as, like, a good guy that fights supernatural things, so it's sort of like that's not really following any of the stuff that was about him. Like, who kills prostitutes, supernatural hero...
Supernatural prostitutes? No.
No, but he oh, well, I guess. Maybe. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that'd be kind of weird.
Yeah.
We're not going to get into that, but...
Probably a good idea.
Yeah, at least with Dante's Inferno, it fits the whole theme of, like, the circles of hell and his journey through them and Virgil the poet kind of thing. I'm planning on reading the Divine Comedy still. One of my friends... who is actually reading at the moment, so hopefully I can talk to her and find out what she thinks of it. But yeah, that's all I have to say. That's pretty much been my gaming for this week, though, so went on for a while, I guess.
With me, I actually started a new game of Earthbound, so, and I absolutely love that series, as I have made clear on other occasions.
So how many times have you played that one now?
I haven't actually played through any of the games more than once yet.
Okay.
But I just, since I had just finished Mother, the first game, a few weeks ago, so then I'm going to go back and play through Earthbound again, play through Mother 3 again, then I'll have actually played through the games in order instead of in reverse order like I did originally.
Oh yeah, that's probably a good idea.
And then other than that... I actually, on the weekend, I got this really huge urge to play through Chrono Trigger again, after hearing the 1UP's version of the theme song for the game.
Like the DS remake that they came out with?
Yeah, that's okay. The one that I have. But I was like, no, I need to finish other games first.
Mm.
So I actually went and I took all of my DS games that I haven't yet totally finished with, other than if I want to replay through them. And I organized them into, like, which games I actually want to play, have a desire to finish up with, and which games is just sort of, it's just either I only need to, like, beat it on another difficulty level or something, or I just don't really care to finish it. One of the games with that was actually Scribblenauts, because that is actually the only game that I have overhyped for myself. It looked really fun. I had a lot of fun with it at first, but I just got bored with it so quickly.
Yeah, like, it had a good gimmick, I guess, but, like, you can only do so much.
Yeah.
For fun, like, I'm sure they advertise, like, you can do X number of, like, possibilities, but at the same time, it's like, how fun is it doing all of them?
Especially when, like, a lot of the sprites for some things are the exact same thing.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of entertaining ones that were the same.
But anyways, so then I separated my games and the games into the two groups. So I've got a list going now of all of the handheld games that I'm going to be working on. So I've started working on Rhythm Heaven again. It's how I would describe it. It's basically a mix of WarioWare and Elite Beat Agents.
Sounds like a good combination.
It's a rhythm game, except each of the individual games, they have their own songs all composed for the game specifically, and they're each their own mini game, about maybe 2-3 minutes long. And it's just like tapping on the screen, sliding, flicking and stuff, just in time with the music, and it's a lot of fun. So I've been working through I've been trying to do about one of the games per day in it. So I think I'm getting pretty close to finishing that off. And I've also gone back into Mega Man ZX, and I'm working on that, trying to finish that up. I think I'm a bit more than halfway through, so that's going pretty well.
Yeah, good progress. And, yeah, so this is our uneditedness. You get this every once in a while.
Yeah,
but you
coffee.
Know.
I wish I had some water left. Anyways.
Excuse us.
Other than that, I've been working on a bit more Tatsunoko versus Capcom again, playing through that. And then I also have been, one thing that I would like to be playing that I haven't been is the second Phoenix Wright game that was released for WiiWare this Monday. Except I haven't gotten around to getting some Nintendo points to get on there and download that, so I'll hopefully be playing that for next week.
Sounds good. Yeah, I pretty much need to finish Dante's Inferno, like, for plan-wise, and then I can move on to other stuff, since I'm really liking this game so far.
Like, No More Heroes.
Yeah,
I mean,
probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably one on my list. I'm also thinking of buying Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Yes, I know I'm quite late on this boat, but
yeah.
Hey, all the patches will be out by now. Because my dad
hopefully.
Bought it, but yeah, hopefully. I've heard some interesting things, but I'll probably play like No More Heroes, and then maybe No More Heroes 2 after that, see how it goes. But yeah, I'll definitely be finishing up Dante's Inferno before anything else really starts.
Alright, so I guess just in terms of some games that have come out this week, I think these are the only things we even mentioned on our gaming forecast last week. For ratings, Alien vs. Predator, it's gotten sort of average-ish rankings. For Xbox 360, the average ranking on game rankings is 65.43%. So, not doing fantastically, but it's not terrible. And then PC is getting better, just average rankings of 71.13%, so could be pretty good.
It's always opinion, of course, though, with
yeah.
any game. Like, the ones that get nines you might hate, but
very true.
Yep, always worth looking at them.
And then also Ace Attorney Investigations for the DS has an average ranking of 79.08%. I forget where it was I was saying it, but I seem to remember reading a review, and they're saying that it manages to keep all the
good things about the rest of the series while adding in some new stuff, like how most of it doesn't actually take place in the courtroom and you take direct control of the character and such.
And, yeah, so coming up this week on the 23rd, I believe, is Heavy Rain exclusively for the PS3. I know some people who are going to be super excited about that, so we'll just have to see what we hear from them review-wise. And now it's time for some news. So first thing I read up, because I was doing some research this morning, was there's been rumors floating about Nintendo's next handheld. Of course, Nintendo hasn't commented on the rumors because that's their policy on the whole thing.
We do not comment on rumors and speculation.
Yep.
And knowing Nintendo, that they may completely deny something and then, hey, look what we're coming out with. Like, I'm pretty sure
DSi.
And the DS Lite, I'm pretty sure they're asked about that like a week before they announced it, and they said that they have absolutely no plans for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so yeah, the people were saying that it seems a little soon after the DSi and the DS XL, or was it the DSi XL?
DSi XL.
Yeah, which isn't in North America, but it's over in Japan. It's basically
It's coming out sometime early this year over here.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's basically a big DSi.
Yeah. I guess for, like, people with bigger hands or who feel that it's, like, flimsy if it's small.
Yeah, and then, like, I think their official reasoning is that it's so that, like, it can be more of a communal experience if one person is playing, other people watching them, something along those lines. But, yeah, so that could also fall in line with the whole, like, rumors of a new console being announced soon from them. And something else that I'm excited that is also handheld-related is Capcom has registered a trademark for Okami Den in the U.S. And Okami Den, that's a sequel for the DS to Okami, which was originally released on the PS2 and then later on the Wii. And that's one of my absolute favorite games ever, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Okay. Yeah, so one thing that's really big news, in my opinion, is the StarCraft II beta was finally opened. Not opened, but it has started. So people with the beta keys can finally start using them. If you went to BlizzCon 2009, you got one. There's a bunch of different things. Hopefully they'll be running some contests, so maybe I can get one. Of course, some people have reviewed it, but I haven't had a chance to like look at the reviews. It also means that it's been releasing the beta version of Battle.net Mark II, I believe, as it's being referred to. So see how all that stuff works. And, yeah, just have to hope that one of those beta keys will make its way over to us.
That could be nice, and then maybe even let out a little preview ahead of time before the game's actually out.
Yeah.
And then also some other stuff we've gotten this week is in the latest issue of Famitsu over in Japan, a lot of details released about Xenoblade. So basically, the main points that I picked up on, there's even more details if you want to look them up, but the main thing that I picked up is there's no actual story relation to the other Xeno games. The director, Tetsuya Takahashi, he wanted to make a sort of common point between his games, so it's probably sort of a spiritual successor thing, kind of like how it was from Xenogears to Xenosaga. So the game, it takes place on the corpses of two gods, actually, that were locked in battle, and so then there's like the two bodies of the two gods. That's the entire land in the game. Like just around them, all you see is ocean and no space that we can see or anything. And basically, it's on the two different gods. There's two organic and mechanical, and the people from the two different gods are fighting each other.
Oh, okay.
And then, so with the enemy system, it seems like it could be sort of Chrono Trigger-esque, because the enemies are on screen, and other enemies that are around might can come and join into the battle when you run into enemies. Although, I'm wondering also if the battles will be sort of like FF12, because apparently you're with other AI-controlled, you pick two other AI-controlled characters, and there's something said about how your character performs attacks automatically, so that made me kind of wonder if it might be sort of how FF12 was.
Okay. This will be our last bit of news today, I guess, since we're running short on time. On Live, if you guys have heard of that, it's this service that is going to be streaming video games. It's a subscription-based plan where you'd pay a certain amount, and then you'd be able to stream games to either your computer, or you'd buy this little micro console, and it would hook up to your TV, and you'd have access to, like, their entire library of games. And apparently there was a summit for DICE, the company that made Crysis and Battlefield 2142, I believe, over in Las Vegas, and they unveiled some more stuff. They're going to be working on the second phase of beta testing pretty soon. It's only going to be in certain areas, apparently, just because of the speed needed to, like, stream Crysis to an iPhone, apparently. That's what they showed a demo of a few seconds, so sure how that went, but it sounds pretty impressive. If it works, I think it'll be amazing, though.
But yeah, it seemed like a really cool idea to me, but at the same time, like, when a really big game is released, I could see that run into problems, because if they just got, like, even if they have multiple dedicated servers for running these games, like, there's going to be millions of people probably trying to play these games all at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
So I could see it kind of screwing up when that happens.
They're going to need, like, such a huge floater for, like, processing power to start, and money, because you need to buy all those servers. Yeah, so I guess that's all we've heard from about this stuff this week. Interesting stuff coming up, hopefully. And we're returning to our random section again this week. And this is just going to be more of a brief discussion as we're, again, running out of time. And it's going to be sci-fi versus fantasy. Which would you choose?
I'm sort of mixed between the two, but definitely leaning more towards fantasy, although there is some pretty cool sci-fi stuff out there.
Yeah, like, I'm sort of torn between the two as well, since there's cool things in both. Like, fantasy has all the magic and elves and stuff, but sci-fi has, like, lasers and warp travel. In the end, though, I think I'd end up going with a high fantasy, if, like, lots of magic, swords, sorcery, wizards, dragons, all that sort of thing. If I had to really choose in the end, though.
For me, I think it really just depends on what it is from each. Like,
true.
With sci-fi, like, the Halo series, for example, I'm not really a huge fan of the games or anything, but I do think it is a pretty damn cool universe.
True.
And then with fantasy, there's also some stuff that I think is really cool, like, say, Zelda, for example.
Yeah.
A great example. But then there's also some stuff where it's kind of like, yeah.
There's such a variety in both, too. Like, you got Star Wars, Star Trek, Warhammer 40K, and then with fantasy, there's, like, Forgotten Realms and D&D. Every single Final Fantasy game is pretty much, like, a different universe.
Although, some of them can also start falling a bit into the sci-fi range there, too.
True. Like, you get some sci-fi elements when you start doing stuff like that, and, like some of the Final Fantasy stuff, they've got, like, airships that start running on, like, more technology than, like, steampunk stuff, even.
Yeah, and then, like, you with the city and at the beginning of 13 looks pretty sci-fi-esque.
Yeah. Which is coming up in March, isn't it?
Yep, just at the, I believe it's the 3rd or something. Sometime within the first week or so.
That'll be interesting.
Anyway, so, yeah, that's, I guess, will be our question of the week as well.
Yeah, I figured that'd be good.
Sci-fi or fantasy?
And tell us why, or maybe an example of one of your favorites from that genre, either like a game or a movie, something like that.
Or even something that turns you off from the other one.
Yeah, if you want to take that side. So just email us the answer over at contact.bit.boys@gmail.com, and we'll talk about the answers next week if we get any.
So, just that was the Bit Boys podcast for Friday, February 19th, 2010.
Yep. And thanks for listening.
See you all next week.